is it a series? If there's three, probably is a short series. For 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at this psalm. It's quite a familiar psalm, quite a well-known psalm, Psalm 23. It's on page 555. If you either have one of the church Bibles or if your Bible has the same page numbers, 555. I'm going to read all of the psalm. I was reminded as I looked at it the last time I read this, it was at the end of October, my dad's funeral. So it's one of those psalms that's commonly read. My mum and my dad both had it read at their funerals. Neither of them had stepped foot in church other than for, you know, matches and dispatches since their confirmation, which has probably happened in the year that Queen Elizabeth was crowned. And yet, Psalm 23, let's have that read at a funeral. It's one of those psalms that people are familiar with, and hopefully, as we look at it together, we'll understand a bit more about why we have it in Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you. Great to keep that on. I wonder if this time last year, you'd known everything that was going to happen to you in that year, in 2024, everything that was going to happen in the world. If you knew that right at the start of the year, how would you have been feeling? Most of us experience, don't we, those a mix of joys and good times, but also struggles and sorrows. And that's to be expected because we live in a fallen world. Scripture makes it clear that's just the experience of life whilst we wait for Jesus' return, whilst we yearn for his coming perfect kingdom where the story will be very different. But we don't like the unknown, do we? So as you start off on another year, how are you feeling? Do you look ahead? Perhaps you're not looking ahead because you don't want to. Perhaps some of you are excited because you're anticipating either milestones or events or things you already know are in the calendar to happen this year and they're going to be good. Perhaps some of you start this year actually feeling weary, feel like you haven't got over 2024 yet, let alone start a new year. Perhaps some of you are feeling daunted. You know that there are particular challenges that you know are lying ahead. Perhaps some of you are that rare breed where you feel really energized because you love new starts and new years and new beginnings. Perhaps some of you are feeling fearful because you don't like the unknown. However we feel about this coming year, past experience tells us that there's going to be new challenges ahead as well as new blessings. But to all of us, it is a pretty big unknown. We're not God. We're creatures. We don't know what lies ahead, but we know the one who does. And he promises to go with us and lead us through this year. And so at the start of this year, I thought it'd be good just to linger these first three Sundays in the most famous of all psalms, Psalm 23. As Ian said, a psalm often read at funerals, which is a bit sad, really, because it has so much more to offer us than just comfort at a time of loss. It's actually a great song to sing all year round. As we read it, perhaps as Ian read it to us, it's just full of really rich, deep images that resonate with us. But above all, it's the Psalms. The truths in this psalm, if we can grasp them afresh, it will help us to appreciate our Lord just that bit more. When we appreciate him that bit more, so we're more inclined to trust him as we go into this year ahead. If you look at the start of it, we see it's a psalm of David, but we don't know when he wrote it or if there was a particular event or season in his life that sparked it. But we know that, as with all scripture, God inspired it to be written for our good. These are his words to us. And there are three parts to this song. And each part has a different image of ourselves and a different image of our relationship to God. So verses 1 to 3, we are sheep and he's the shepherd. Verse 4, which we'll do next week, we are travellers and he's our close companion. And then verse 5 and 6, we are guests and he is the host. So we're going to take one section each Sunday, and today we begin with us being sheep, the flock of God, and he being our shepherd. We're going to see just how rich these few verses are in telling us who our shepherd is and what he's like, but also what he does for us if we are his sheep. And both of those things, who his identity and what he does, are good things for us to turn to and to cling to as we enter a new year. So let's start off by thinking, firstly, in verse 1, about our shepherd. Who is our shepherd? Who is your shepherd? The first thing we have to do is get our heads around this image of sheep with a shepherd. I wonder, as soon as I say that, what that picture that conjures up for you. You know, for us living in our country, we hear sheep and shepherd and we immediately think of rolling hills dotted with white sheep left alone. And then occasionally the shepherd coming along, maybe with a sheep dog or with a quad bike more these days, and then driving the sheep from behind to go wherever he wants them to go. Now, we've got to forget all of that sort of imagery. Abandoned sheep, sheep being driven. Shepherding in the ancient Middle East was very different. Probably is still different there today. Shepherds stayed with their sheep all the time. They even would sleep with their sheep. We know that. Just remember that at Christmas, haven't we? The shepherds were out in the fields abiding with their sheep at night time. And the shepherd's role, particularly in an arid climate like ancient Middle East, Palestine, the shepherd would go in front of the sheep, calling, and the sheep would recognize the voice of their shepherd and would follow him. And the shepherd's job was to lead his sheep to those safe areas of pasture, not so many compared to our country being in an arid climate. Or he'd be leading them to those places where there was water they could drink that wasn't stagnant and do them bad, that wasn't so fast flowing that they wouldn't be safe to drink, but those slow flowing waters where they could linger and drink. The shepherd was not just the provider for the sheep, but he was also their protector. Many predators out there who would be dreaming of a nice meal of lamb. And the shepherd's job would to be to fight off those predators, wolves, bears, other wild animals. So when we see here the Lord revealing himself to us as a shepherd, we're to think of him both as provider, caring for every aspect of our lives, but also as protector, the one who fights for us, protects us against all that would seek us harm. And of course, verse 1 immediately tells us who is our shepherd. The Lord. Do you notice there, it's that title of God where we put in our Bibles, Lord, in capital letters. It's that name that God revealed to Moses. You might say Yahweh, or when I was a child, we used to say Jehovah. It's that name that means I am who I am. I will be who I will be. Meaning, he's totally sufficient in himself. He's never in want or need. He is what he is. He doesn't need anyone else to exist. He doesn't need anyone or anything else to be constantly joyful. He doesn't need anyone or anything else for his well-being. I am who I am. And so we contrast that image of the Lord with us as his sheep. Sheep being totally dependent on their shepherd to lead them to that good and safe food and water. Totally dependent on their shepherd to keep them safe from predators. We're meant to think of that contrast of us as needy and him as all-sufficient. And of course, that name, Yahweh, the Lord, in capital letters, is the name of God linked to his gracious covenant relationship that he entered into with his rescued people, where he promised that he would be their God. They would know his never-changing love and compassion and mercy, and they would have the privilege of being his special people. And if we know the Lord through faith in Jesus, we too, with David, can say the Lord is my shepherd. You notice throughout this psalm, everything's personal. My shepherd. When we trust him with our lives, recognizing that we are his needy and dependent creatures, we can say, my shepherd. Now, of course, 1,000 years after this psalm was written by David, Jesus announced, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus was claiming that all those Old Testament images of God as shepherd and his people as sheep, including Psalm 23, was to find their fulfillment in him as the good shepherd. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I am, again, that name of God, Yahweh. I am who I am. Jesus was claiming to be God. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he just recently told the people, before Abraham was born, I am. And the people had tried to stone him for saying this because they knew he was claiming to be God. So as we read Psalm 23, we look and see Jesus as our good shepherd. We follow him, acknowledge him, acknowledging that he is God the Son, trusting him to be the one who can give us all that we need, coming to him as dependent sheep. When this morning, can you say like David, the Lord is my shepherd? None of us here this morning or listening online are without shepherds in our lives. Shepherds are those that we listen to. Shepherds are those that we follow. Shepherds are those that we think can lead us and give us the best life. Jesus alone has the right to call himself the good shepherd, because he's the only one who can lead us to what we truly need. So if you're here and you're not yet following Jesus, you're listening online, I want to ask you, have you entrusted your life to him? Have you set your heart upon following him? And no better time of year than to set out on that lifetime of faith and the start of a new year. And those of us that have set our hearts and our lives in that direction, are we still following him? Are we still trusting him each day as this good shepherd? Or have we allowed other voices to hold greater influence in our lives? Other shepherds, other influences. You know, it's very easy to be that sheep that looks like they're going along with the rest of the flock in following the shepherd, but actually is always looking out to see if there's somewhere better, greener pasture elsewhere. You know, the phrase, thinking the grass is always greener on the other side. This morning, as we look at these great words, can you see your good shepherd afresh as being the one who is truly good? And why he's the one who's truly good is, well, verse 1 tells us, Verse 1 doesn't just say the Lord is my shepherd, but it says, because he is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Because of his identity, because of who he is, because of what he does, that we'll come on to in a minute, we can say in response, when he's my shepherd, I truly lack nothing. In him, I have everything I need. Maybe not everything I want, everything I need, both now and for all eternity. I think a bit about Yahweh again. I am who I am, I will be who I will be. It's because of his fullness, his sufficiency, the fact that he never lacks anything, the fact that he is perfectly able to be what we need, that we can say when we are united to him by faith, he is my shepherd, so therefore I lack nothing. If I were to ask you this morning, what do you think you lack? I wonder how you'd answer. Maybe think in your heads just at this moment. How would you complete that sentence? If only I had this or that in my life, then I'd no longer be in need. How do you answer that? More money, better health, more friends, different friends. A spouse, a different spouse. A job, a different job. The list could go on. In the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, we hear God saying to us, I know exactly what you need to have life in all its fullness. And I alone can provide it. Our real issue often is that it's not that we lack something, often we end up desiring the wrong things. We end up believing the voices of the shepherds of the 21st century. You know, our society is all geared up to creating new wants, which we soon take on board as our felt needs. Oh, I need this to be whole. I need this to be truly alive. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Allow God's word here to retrain your sense of need. I wonder this morning, do you believe verse 1? Do you believe it to be true? Do you trust Jesus to be your good shepherd? What is uppermost in your mind as you enter this new year? What most worries you, or what causes you to fear? Or what are you eagerly awaiting with anticipation because you think it's going to be the highlight of your year? Can you hear Jesus tell you afresh this morning, in each of those situations, I am your good shepherd. In me you lack nothing. Because only in him do we find spiritual life. Only in him do we find forgiveness of our sins and our mess-ups. Only in him do we have that relationship with our Creator. Only in him do we have life eternal. Only in him do we have God's indwelling presence through his Spirit, now and forever. Who is our good shepherd? Jesus. And in him we can say, we lack nothing. And we can say that and we can mean it because of what he does for us as our good shepherd. So that's our second thing today in verses 2 and 3. What does your good shepherd do for you? Well, David describes four things here, doesn't he, in verses 2 and 3. Four things that the Lord, his shepherd, does for him. Look at the first one with me in verse 2. We'll rattle through them and then come to them in a slightly different way. What's the first one there? He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's an image of feeding on what we need. Good pasture. And in safety, sheep only lie down to eat when they know that they're safe and they've got enough. Jesus wants to feed us the food of his word, which brings life and health to us. Compared to what the world is offering, which is often lies and ultimately harming us, his word, as he speaks it into our hearts and lives, brings life and health. It does us good. And what's the second thing that the shepherd does there in verse 2? He leads me beside quiet waters. We can drink safely of the life-giving water that we need. Jesus said that through him, our spiritual thirst would be quenched by the presence of his Spirit in our lives. Come to him and know the Spirit's indwelling. The third thing, though, in verse 3, the shepherd refreshes my soul. I think the sense of both feeding on his word, drinking of his Spirit, means we find that true rest in him. Our innermost beings, our souls, who we truly are refreshed and know new life. He refreshes my soul. And then fourthly, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. As we follow Jesus, as we hear him speak to us through his word, so we're led in ways that are right and good, ways that our Creator intended. And he does it for his name's sake. He gets the glory as the wisdom of his word gets proven in our lives as we follow him. It's a lovely picture of what our good shepherd wants to do for each of us every day. But there's an even greater story that lies behind these images. And that's the story of the Exodus. That story of God rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt, how he then guided them, protected them, provided for them as they journeyed through the wilderness until they finally found rest in the promised land. And these echoes of the Exodus lie behind this psalm. There are many of them. Let me just show a few so that you get the idea. Moses described the journey of God's people through the wilderness in this way on a number of occasions. Here's one from Deuteronomy 2. Deuteronomy being Moses' final sermon to the people just before he dies and just before they're going to enter the promised land. Moses said this: "The Lord has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you and you have not lacked anything." It's exactly the same words as in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." As the people celebrated God's rescue them from the Egyptian armies, they sang a song. And that song has echoes in Psalm 23, Exodus 15. "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling." Picture of God leading and guiding his people safely to where he lives. Psalm 23, "He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me along the right paths." And how does Psalm 23 end? We'll get there in 2 weeks. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's a psalm of journey. It has an end destination in sight, being with the Lord forever. And then look at verse 2, where we translate a word as quiet waters. But literally, it means the waters of rest. The idea that God is leading his people to the true place of rest is language we find throughout the Old Testament. The place of rest being, for them, the promised land. So again, in Deuteronomy, Moses' final words describes it as the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. There are many other references throughout the Old Testament that lie behind this image of the Lord being our shepherd, we being his sheep. What we see is God saving his sheep for the people who originally read Psalm 23 through that blood sacrifice of their substitute lamb, for us through the blood of our lamb, Jesus on the cross. And then the picture is of God acting as a shepherd, protecting and providing his rescued people as they journey through the wilderness to the promised land. For us, a picture of him as we trust him, leading us through the wilderness of our lifetimes. Jesus feeding us with his word, giving us his Spirit to drink, protecting us from the evil one as we journey, leading us in those right paths until we too reach our end destination of his home, the place of true rest, where we will dwell with him forever. So this psalm, these verses sing to us that our good shepherd will provide all that we need in this life's journey, and that we can trust him that he will safely lead us home to be with him forever. But we will face different situations and different times in our life where we maybe question that. Where today do you doubt that he will safely lead you? He will safely bring you home. What situation causes you to question whether your good shepherd is enough for you? I wonder, can you bring whatever that situation, that fear is, that doubt is, to him today? And trust him afresh that in 2025 and in 2026 and however long you live, he will provide, he will protect, he will guide. He will be your good shepherd. One of the reasons we love verse 2 and that image of lying down in green pastures, being led to quiet waters, having our souls refreshed, is because often we struggle to experience that in our lives. We struggle to find that true rest in Jesus. Does life feel like you're drinking from life-giving water? At times it doesn't. And yet we hear our good shepherd Jesus say to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, follow me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes we struggle to live in the Psalm 23 rest, the rest that Jesus promises here, because we misunderstand what that rest is about. We think that rest is the sort of rest we have at the end of a busy day, you know, feet up, cuppa in hand, no challenges, no problems to navigate. But Jesus offers us something better: rest for our souls, refreshment for our souls, rest from striving to prove ourselves to others all the time, rest from struggling to achieve life goals that the world says we should have and follow, rest from trying to make a name for ourselves or a reputation for ourselves, rest from trying to be good enough for God to accept us and love us. Jesus offers us that true soul rest. One of the reasons God has given us this discipline of gathering together regularly as a church family is to enjoy that rest. You know, we so easily forget about it in the week. We so easily lapse back into striving for what actually we can only find in Jesus. And every Sunday, every time we gather, is an opportunity to lay down our foolish strivings and find rest in Jesus. Can we make the most of those opportunities as we gather together throughout this year ahead? One of the ways that he refreshes our souls is by guiding us along the right paths. Verse 3. True freedom isn't found by casting off what we think are constraints and limitations. That's what the world says. To be truly free, you have to cast off everything that is put upon you. True freedom isn't found in forging your own path. Our good shepherd says true freedom is found in following him as he leads us into his right paths. And he leads us by speaking to us. Remember that picture of the shepherd going before, calling? We recognize his voice and we follow. Jesus spoke of this when he said that he was a good shepherd in John 10. He said, "When the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." And so as we prayerfully read his word, as we hear it preached with open and hungry hearts, so he speaks so that we can follow him into these right paths. And his word refreshes us because he speaks truth to us. Because his word ultimately should always lead to us bringing our lives to him in faith and trust. David wrote in another psalm, Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is perfect, refreshing the soul. Can we picture God's written word to us in this way as something that will refresh our souls? I think if we can picture it that way, we'd have much greater desire to spend time in it. We'd have a much greater appetite to sit under it being taught and preached when we realise that what on offer as he speaks to us is the refreshing of our souls. Our good shepherd provides. In him we can say, I lack nothing. He refreshes. He protects. We'll think a bit more about that next week. And he guides us as we follow him, as he leads us through life, ultimately to be where he is. As we go into this new year, which shepherd's voice are you listening to? Which shepherd are you following? Have you entered this year maybe with that thought at the back of your mind about, oh, I could wander off down here. Maybe the grass is greener down here. Maybe life would be easier, better for me down there. Those small decisions that we make, those little habits that we form, over time can reap, have a big impact spiritually, either for good or for ill. You have those thoughts today. Can you throw them off and look up instead to your good shepherd? And commit again to following him. Seeing him as he speaks to you, wants to feed you and refresh you with his word and his spirit, wanting to guide you in his right ways throughout this year. As you look ahead again at your good shepherd going before you, can you commit yourself to trust him afresh, knowing that he alone is trustworthy because he is truly good? Knowing that he will safely get you home. Let's be quiet together for a moment. Give you a moment just to talk to the Lord yourself. What particularly has struck you? What has he spoken to you? Chance for you to turn that back to him in prayer. Maybe praise, maybe confession, maybe request. Just a moment's quiet to do that. Heavenly Father, we confess that often we are quick to stray, our hearts wander. We are quick to question your goodness or your ability. But thank you that you are our shepherd. Thank you in the Lord Jesus, you revealed yourself to be the one true good shepherd. Please give us an appetite to hear his voice and to follow him. Please help us to see him as good, the one who alone who can bring us the true rest that our souls long and yearn for. Thank you that you go ahead to lead us along those right paths this year. And so we do want to trust you afresh with our lives, with the life of our church. Trusting you to be that good shepherd. So we praise you in your name. Amen.